ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hi, it's Patricia Carvelis here. I'm the host of the Politics Now podcast, and I spend a lot of time talking to politicians, usually grilling them. But over summer, I want to introduce you to the people behind the politics.
People think politicians love talking about themselves, but it's not really the case.
I generally am not actually going to... I'm not going to name any names.
No, I'm not. You can find the interview series in the Politics Now podcast feed.
Jez, there's been a lot of talk about breakups lately. Mm. Lily Allen's new album. What do you like to break up with?
The very first sort of proper breakup I went through, I was devastated and never saw it coming.
Ugh, the worst.
And subsequent breakups, once I checked out, I'm checked out, and I'm out. I'm
done. You don't want to sit around and talk about it.
I don't want to talk about it. I'm just like,
No.
I'm over it, and I turn into an ice king.
Oh my gosh, I'm exactly the same.
Are you really?
Yeah, no, I'm done.
Right.
I don't. In fact, I don't want to sit around and labour it. No.
Yeah, my friends have nicknames for me. What? About like someone calls me Iron Bar. I'm just once I've made up my mind, I'm made up my mind. That's
what is that about? Do you think?
I think just when you know, you're done.
You're done.
You move on.
Yeah.
I don't want to dwell in that space.
And it's painful and let's just go.
It's not even painful. It's just like, I think it just, for me, it just makes me question my own judgment. I think that's
I hate that.
You know?
Yeah,
like,
I hate
it's
that.
Not that you don't think about it, but
like,
you just
what was I doing?
What was I thinking?
On that note, do you have a favourite breakup song?
Favourite breakup song? Are you kidding? I've got a whole playlist. I've got a playlist.
The Ice King's playlist.
Yeah. Because we're highly emotional as well at the same time, having just told everyone I'm an Ice King. No, I got a long playlist of songs that I just kind of helped me connect with those feelings, deal with them, and then move on. So, Separate Lives by Phil Collins.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
That is
I once
a good
had a boyfriend
song.
Like pull me up. We were like, he had a big, one of those big beatboxy things. We're in his car, pulled up the side of an oval. And pressed play, and that song came on.
Was that his? What, he's breaking up with you?
Yeah. Well, we'd already broken up.
Oh,
I think.
Right.
Well, okay. All right. I haven't always been clean on my breakups. I've only come to ice in recent years. Yeah. What else?
Let me find.
I love Nothing Compares to You. That's an absolute classic.
Yes.
What about Robin a... Dancing on My Own?
Oh, that is a good song.
That is
a great song.
A banger. You know what I've been obsessed with lately? Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah, yes.
Silver Springs.
Yeah.
And there is a moment when Stevie Nicks is singing and staring straight at Lindsay Buckingham, and she's singing, "I'll follow you down till the sound of my voice will haunt you." And it's chilling and it's fantastic.
I've got Both Sides Now by Joni Mitchell.
Yep.
You Belong to Me by Vonda Shepherd. That was really big in Ally McBeal.
Oh.
Remember that from years ago?
Yeah. I think that's a good list.
Over the Rainbow.
What?
That always makes me tear up, Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
How's that a breakup song?
It's a sad, sad song.
Ooh, broken-hearted Jez singing Why Oh Why Can't I.
Yeah.
When troubles melt like lemon drops. But anyway, we're digressing, Jez, because I want to talk about Lily Allen. Because it has been the biggest breakup album and people have gone wild for West End Girl, which details the end of her relationship, of her marriage with David Harbour, who you may have seen on Stranger Things, and how towards the end of their relationship he was trying to have an open marriage. Didn't go very well. She's completely devastated. So she goes to a studio and records an album in 10 days. And it's actually a fantastic album. And it has set the internet, if I can talk about that as an abstract thing, a lot of people have responded very strongly to it. Like, I think it's been very successful.
What is it that's appealing to people about it?
I think because it's so honest. Shock, grief, anger. So she talks about that how making the record for her was a way to process what was happening. But really, the whole, all of the songs are like an arc to her realization, to her eventual emancipation. So you kind of follow her on this. You get this kind of phoenix from the ashes satisfaction. So she's falling in love, moving to New York, buying this beautiful place. She's moving there with her daughters, setting up home. But as the album goes on, her husband's disappearing. She actually records herself like as though she's on the phone to him, saying, "Oh, that would, I guess, if that makes me really sad, but okay, if that would make you happy." And that's him, about him requesting an open marriage. And then she makes more and more discoveries, you know, like that she didn't know that another apartment he had was a palace where he went for the purposes of sleeping with other women. She's calling him a sex addict. And she kind of accuses him of saying, "Look, we had an arrangement. Don't be blatant. There had to be payment, and it had to be with strangers." And she sings about a woman called Madeline in it, who he had a relationship with. It. Then she sings about going to this apartment, finding her husband's like sex toys, a shoebox full of handwritten letters from broken-hearted women.
Oh gosh.
She ends the relationship, and then she's upset that he doesn't try to keep it going. "Why won't you beg for me?" And she says, "Look, I will not absorb your shame. It's you who put me through this. I can walk out with my dignity if I lay my truth out on the table." It's also kind of funny. She talks about how when she goes on like dating apps, she calls herself Dallas Major. "My name is Dallas Major and I'm coming out to play, looking for someone to have fun with while my husband walks away. I'm almost nearly 40. I'm just shy of 5'2". I'm a mum to teenage children. Does that sound like fun to you?" And she goes, "Because I hate it here. I hate it here. I hate it here. I hate it. I hate it." And yeah, it's gone wild, Jez. Tell me what you think.
I just feel like just hearing that story, I haven't heard the album.
Yeah.
It feels like too much information. Mm-hmm. And you know, sometimes when you're in a really vulnerable place with a breakup or losing a job or losing someone you care about.
Yeah.
The advice, the sort of standard advice, is to don't make any rash decisions. Don't say too much.
Yeah.
Just kind of sit on it, sit with it for a little while. I'm not sure that's good advice.
Yeah.
But
sure.
I kind of, it feels like a bit too much information for public consumption, but I can appreciate that a lot of people will relate to it and connect with it, because this is the point of art, right? We see ourselves in these stories and we have a point of connection, and it helps us resolve our own kind of issues and drama and whatever.
And would she have done this if it was the father of her children? You know, I don't know. Maybe she still would. I kind of find, because like you, I've always been like, okay, like I guess I'm pretty private, like keep it private, move on. Yeah. Just don't create a drama. Don't get into
gossip. Just absorb it. Absorb it. Because once you put it out there, people will ask more questions and the story becomes public property.
But I think that there is, now this is a bit gendered, I think, there is often an idea that women, especially when men treat them badly, and please tell me if you think this is the same for men as well, are meant to absorb bad male behaviour, whether it's bullying or whether it's abuse or whether it's whatever. And if you talk about it, it's like, oh, well, that person's obviously bitter. That person is someone who's scorned, as opposed to saying, no, that's your behaviour. They are things that you did, and I'm not just going to render it invisible and sit here and internalise this damage. I think even though women or people in their own life wouldn't do it, they relish seeing someone else do it, someone else stand up and say, no, this is crap. This exploded my heart and exploded my life, and I'm not taking it.
I think men experience a similar sort of thing, but I think there's a difference in what excuses we're willing to grant either party, male and female, how much hurt a man is allowed to feel,
how much
cover-up a woman is expected to endure, how much a man is expected to move on, how much...
Not show weakness.
And not show weakness, and how much a woman is expected to just...
Soak it up.
Kind of soak it up.
Still be nice.
And be nice.
And likeable.
And kind of, you know, keep smiling, darling, kind of thing, I just feel, I feel like listening to the way you've characterized her story, I feel like I shouldn't be listening to that. Having said that, I'm reminded of this. Gabrielle wrote a beautiful breakup album some years ago.
Yeah.
In 1999. It was called Rise, and it followed that arc of the heartbreak and the recovery.
Mm.
And I'd just been through a breakup at the time. I was devastated. My sister gave me this album, and I played it on repeat for weeks, and it helped me. So I can see the value to other people.
Yeah.
But I guess I don't want to judge, but I'd like to know more about what this is doing for Lily Allen, because just this is such a public way to go about it.
What do you mean? Also, I think she's pretty public about what it's doing.
I know, but like it's helping her career. In the long term.
She feels this is about restoring her dignity by laying it on the table.
And she's, look, good on her if that works for her. What do you think about the right of reply?
Yeah, well, that's the thing, because you're fueling the story.
Yeah.
And he's had a very bad run of press, David Harbour, because there was stories coming out about Millie Bobby Brown having filed complaints about him on the set of Stranger Things. And so he's had a bit to do PR-wise. Yeah, look, I'm a bit torn as well. I do think there's something glorious about witnessing that rage. Beyonce, fabulous.
Lemonade.
Yellow dress. Yeah. Smashing cars with a baseball bat. I mean, that is iconic. Because, yes, you're destroying. You're like, screw it. Like, I'm calling this out, and this is painful to me, but I will go on. And she still stayed in her relationship. But I also really loved that moment in Helen Garner's diaries when she talks about the breakdown of her marriage. And we've sensed it coming. And she finally does discover that her then husband is having an affair. And she just goes into the kitchen and pulls soup and food out of containers in the kitchen, throws it around. And then she gets this great scene. She gets a hat. Now, it's a fancy, like, branded hat that her husband has been minding for the woman he's having an affair with, because this woman, I think, is going to give it to her mother or is going to give it to someone as a present. And Helen goes in and gets some scissors out and chops this hat up into little pieces. And there's something like, I find that glorious. I've never done a thing like that in my life. And I'm fascinated by people who do.
But what if you're the one who's iced someone? They go away and write a breakup album. Go, Julia Bad.
No, I don't want that. No, let's shut that down right now.
She cut my hat up. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Or they'd be smashing my car up.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. Well, you got to. Yeah, that's true. I the other thing I think about is the people involved. Like, who is Becky with the good hair? We don't know. Right? There's a lot of people guessing.
This is a reference that Beyonce made in her Lemonade album, Becky with the Good Hair, after finding out that Jay-Z, her husband, was having an affair.
Exactly. So everyone's like,
no one knows who Becky is.
No one knows who it is. And some people are claiming it, but we all know about Becky now. I think that Lily Allen has taken a risk in doing this, and it's worked for her. I don't think it always does. I think there's a reason that it's really struck a chord. And do you know what? The music is actually really good. Like, it's really a good album.
So what you're saying is we're not going to do an episode of Not Stupid where we talk about our breakups.
And never. Never, ever. We've moved on. I think that we need to cut some slack to creatives who express things that we never really could in the same way, and that release something inside people. But, you know, no, would I want to be walking in David Harbour's shoes right now?
No, thank you.
All right, Jez, time for pick of the week.
So, Jules, a very quick one. Yep. There's been a major scientific breakthrough with a man who's become the seventh person to be left HIV-free.
Oh.
He's apparently been cured of HIV after receiving a stem cell transplant to treat blood cancer.
Hmm.
The weird thing about this particular case is that normally when you get a stem cell kind of injection into your body, you're injected with stem cells that are resistant to HIV. This man did not receive HIV-resistant stem cells. And it's opened up this whole other kind of branch of cure research about how it is he could have beaten the disease not having the same treatment as other people have had before.
I find that incredible, those side effects. Like, we were talking about Ozempic relatively recently, and it was like people who've had fertility problems now being able to fall pregnant.
Transformational.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's only been, what, 40 plus years since the AIDS epidemic broke out. And at a time when people were just dying left, right and centre, the disease was poorly understood. Stigma was terrible, as it is, you know, for a lot of communities today. But this has opened up, I think, a really interesting branch of research into HIV cure research, which will hopefully lead to something more kind of permanent and widely available to people.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I've got it on a slightly lighter note. Now, what's one thing we've talked about quite a bit this year, Jez? What's, in fact, could be our motto?
Ta-da. Just eat the last piece
That's
of
it.
Cake.
So, I was at a function the other day. Lovely woman called Kate came up and gave me a little bag, and it had in it this incredible, like, pistachio and lemon curd cake. And she said, here's your last piece of cake. And I was like, yes, it's
what a
legend. Snotty.
That is so cool.
But there was a woman standing next to her, who was a CEO of this company, and she said, oh, in Spanish tradition, we call that the piece of shame.
Really?
Yes.
What?
I know. I started looking into this.
Right.
And it is a real thing. Now, in German, it's Anstandstück. Anstandstück is literally the decency piece, the last piece of cake at a party. In Sweden, it's bad manners to take the last piece of cake, although you can after you've checked with everyone else present. In Italian, the shame slice. But in Thai, there's a term, chim krenjai, which is, and they usually just say the person who eats it will get a beautiful girlfriend or handsome boyfriend.
Ah, there you go. This is like the opposite of like cutting into the bottom of the cake, right?
Yeah. So I found myself on a website, a chat forum where people were talking about the shame of the last piece. Someone came in and went,
no shame.
In Australia, we say, somebody eat the effing thing. I want to wash the plate. Or that bit of cake looks a bit lovely. I'll put it in with some friends, i.e. my belly. So isn't that interesting? And then someone else wrote, in my family, this is the all piece. Even if you ate nothing else, this one will let others accuse you of eating all the cake. So I didn't realize so much. Actually, there's an equivalent in Arabic. Jez, I didn't realize how profoundly countercultural
we've
take
been.
The last piece is.
Well, I mean, to come back to that conversation when we kind of gave birth to this secret language between us and our listeners.
Yes.
I'm a baker. I like it when people finish the food that I put in front of them.
Yes.
It's a real compliment to the baker. Why would you leave a piece sitting there, waste the food, waste the effort of the person who's made you this thing out of love and effort?
Yes.
Eat the last piece.
And, I mean, there's a way around it manners-wise, right? Anyone want this? I mean, you can say, some people go, do you want this? No, I'll have it. There's ways of going, of offering it to someone else and then tucking in.
Yeah.
Or maybe don't offer, Jez. Take it.
Yeah, look.
So in this holiday season, Jeremy, what would you like people to remember as they sit around their tables groaning with food?
Look, honour the food that's been put in front of you. Honour the effort that's gone into it and have the last piece. Enjoy it. Savour it.
Relish it.
It may be your last.
Well, that's true. That is actually true. Imagine how gloomy that would be. That could be the last piece of cake you ever eat. Jez, what a pleasure.
Very nice to catch up, Jules.
Yeah.
You take care.
If you want to email us, notstupid@abc.net.au. Our producers, Madeline Jenner and Cinnamon Nippard. My co-host, Jeremy, the last piece, Fernandez.
Happy holidays.